Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to teach on what I've entitled Effortless Change. And I tell you, this is exciting to me. This transformed my life. It's a perfect follow-up to the teaching that I've done on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. I touched on these things, but now I'm just beginning. It's like I painted this big picture. Now I'm beginning to zero in on one element about how do you change. And basically, it's by taking the Word of God and meditating in it day and night. And I've been trying to emphasize this all this week. And of course, I'm going to be continuing on this for a number of weeks. This is something that changed my life. It's one of the foundation principles in my life. And I've not only seen it change me, I've seen it change many, many, many people. You know, today what I want to do is just try and make the case that we need to change. And I think that there's a lot of people that have, in a sense, been lulled to sleep, that we have been pacified, that in a sense we've been put to sleep. It's like we've been given an anesthetic, and there's a lot of people that are basically just floating through life, and they get up, they go to work, they come home, they watch TV, and they just get up the next morning and go through the same thing. They don't have a purpose for their life. They're just existing. And yet they look around and they see that, well, this is the way that everybody else is. And they have just lowered their expectations to such a degree that they don't even realize that they need to change. They are continually struggling in the area of finances, in the area of health, in the area of emotions. And yet they look around and think, well, this is the way it is with everybody. And a lot of this comes because we've gotten away from the Word of God. We've gotten away from seeing people who live in victory and who operate in the miraculous. There's entire denominations that are preaching that miracles don't happen today, that you can't expect any of these things. They're singing the song, "When we all get to heaven, what a day that will be," which it is true that heaven's going to be a blast. But the Lord said to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," in Matthew chapter 6. And instead, there's a lot of people that just don't believe that you can have victory, that we are nothing but just mere human beings who've been forgiven down here, and that all of our real inheritance and victory begins in heaven. And because of that kind of thinking, there's a lot of people that are just struggling through life and don't even realize that they need to change. They're dying and don't know it. Their marriages, their families are going downhill, and they're looking around saying, well, everybody has these kind of problems. And so they aren't even expecting a victorious marriage, a victorious family. They aren't expecting victory in the area of their health. They see other Christians who are dying sick and struggling with all of these things. You even see some Christians who are proclaiming that it's God that made them quadriplegics. It's God who gave them these sicknesses and diseases. And all of these things are working to just basically lower people's expectations to where there's a lot of people that don't even realize we need a change. You know, this reminds me of a story here in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 7. In chapter 6, there was a drought that was caused because the Syrians had surrounded the city of Samaria and basically were starving them out. And because of this, there was a famine going on in the city. The 6th chapter of 2 Kings shows that people got so hungry that they were actually selling animal dung for exorbitant amount of money. And people actually got to the point that they were eating them, their own children. There's a story in the 6th chapter of 2 Kings about two women who lived together, two single mothers, and they each had children. And one of them said, "I'll kill my child and we'll eat my child today if tomorrow we can kill your child and eat it." And so the woman said, okay. They killed one of the babies and ate it. And the next day when it came time to kill the other baby and eat it, the woman had hit her baby. And this woman brought this story to the king, hoping that he would make her fulfill her obligation and kill her child so that they could eat it. That's how bad the famine was. And in this situation where, I mean, everybody was just about on their last leg, they were about to die. It says in 2 Kings chapter 7 that there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" And anyway, they were outside of the city because they were lepers. And so they were experiencing the same famine and stuff, but they didn't even have access to the dung that people were eating inside. It was a critical situation. But anyway, this is just so powerful. They said, "Why sit we here until we die?" Boy, that is one great question. And you know, I believe that I'm inspired by the Lord to say this to millions of you watching, that why are you just sitting there until you die? You don't like the way that your life is. You don't want it to be this way a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. You're hoping that things are going to change, but you're doing nothing to change it. You're just going through the exact same motions. It's like you're on a treadmill and you're just doing the same thing that you did yesterday that didn't produce any change, but you're going to do that same thing today, and then you're going to do the same thing again tomorrow. And you're going to wonder why nothing ever changes. I've heard it said before that it's a definition of insanity to do the same thing and expect some different results. If you want different results, you're going to have to do something differently. And praise God, these four lepers finally came to this conclusion. How long are we going to sit here until we die? We got to do something. We need to do something. Even if it's wrong, we need to do something. The next verse says, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Boy, that is awesome logic. And yet there are some people that dying to them is such a, I mean, this is, you would never risk your life. You would never put your life at risk. You have made a decision that you are going to take the easiest way out, the one that has the least potential damage. And you are living your whole life just trying to, what is going to hurt me the least? You know what? Sometimes to get change, you got to push through a barrier, a mental barrier, that you know what? This may cost you something. It may cause some physical, emotional pain. It might cost you some finances. It might cost you some of your reputation. It could even cost you your life. But you know what? If you're going to change, you're going to have to do something different. And if you're just taking the easy way out, and if that's how you guide your life, you're never going to change. I've used this example before, but an old dead fish could float downstream. Anybody can follow the path of least resistance. But if you want to change and accomplish something and get someplace, you're going to have to turn around and swim upstream. You're going to have to go against the current. You're going to have to exert some effort, and there's some risk involved with that. And there's a lot of people that just are so afraid of risk that they won't do anything. But you know what? It's like these lepers. These lepers said, let's go out to the Syrians and discover ourselves to this enemy out there. It's possible that they'll let us live. The worst that they could do is kill us. And you know what? They were going to die anyway. They were just days away from starvation. It was better to take a chance. But you know, that chance could have ended their life a day or two earlier, maybe a week earlier than they would have starved to death. And there's a lot of people that just wouldn't even consider that because it might end my life. You know, the truth is, every one of us is going to die anyway. Unless Jesus comes back in our lifetime, every person watching this television broadcast is going to die. And so death is going to come to all of us. And if you're so afraid of death, and I'm not only talking about physical death, but you're so afraid of financial death, emotional death, that maybe something you do is going to stop you and hurt you financially or hurt you, and you're so afraid to do anything, you know what? You're going to die anyway. You need to look at this and realize that, man, it doesn't really matter how long you live. It matters how much you live during that time that you're alive. It matters whether or not you are following a plan and whether you're making your life count for something or whether you're just going through the motions and you're going along like a zombie like everybody else with no purpose in life, no destination, just taking the easy way out. To me, this is a tremendous example. These lepers who were outcast, they basically summed it up that they had three options. They could either go into the city, and if they went into the city, they were going to die because the famine was in the city. They could sit outside the gate where they were, and they were going to die because they were starving to death too. Or the third option had a risk of potentially having the Syrians put them to death. But if they went out to the enemy, the Syrians, there was a chance that the Syrians might let them live. And it was the only chance that they had. And they decided to do it. And here's the results. In verse 5, it says, they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came into the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then said they one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. And so the story goes on that they went back to the city of Samaria and they told them that the Syrians had fled, that all of the food was out there, all of their raiment, their silver, their gold. And these lepers went from being outcasts that weren't even allowed inside the city to being the heroes that brought the good news about the defeat of the Syrians. And the next day the famine was over, the siege was broken, and they became the heroes of the whole situation. And you know how that happened? Because finally they realized, we need to change. We need to do something differently. If we want different results, we're going to have to do something different. They could have just sat there. Did you know it takes less effort to just sit and do nothing? They risked possibly being killed by the Syrians. But look at the rewards. They not only lived. It not only broke the famine in their life. It broke the famine in the city. It broke the siege. Everything changed because somebody finally decided that, you know what? We need to change. Something needs to change. We can't keep doing the same thing and expect anything but the same results. I tell you, I just believe in my heart that God is speaking directly to people all over the world today. That there are some of you that are dissatisfied with where you are. You don't want things to be the same. You're praying for change, but you're going to keep doing the exact same thing. That's got to change. You have to make some different decisions. You know, there's many, many ways that you can do that. But one of the things that I see constantly in our meetings and in people that I deal with is that we promote the Bible college and we talk about people coming to our Bible college. And people are wanting their life to change. They're wanting something different. And yet they're afraid to do anything different. And so often I'll make this application and I'll say that, you know what, Bible college could be the change that you need to make. You need to come and sit under the Word, be disciplined, and sit under a systematic approach to studying the Word and revealing these great truths. And I have seen thousands of people decide that, you know what, I'm going to do something different. People give up their careers. They give up their retirement. They give up their grandkids. Not that they forsake them, but they no longer are right there next door, and they move across country. And they come and they sit under the Word and it just changes them. And I have seen for thousands of people that just coming to a Bible college could be the change. But whether it's coming to a Bible college or you can take our Bible college online, you can get correspondence courses, whether it's being in an official organized Bible school or not, I can guarantee you, for every person watching this program, getting into the Word of God is the thing that is going to make this transformation in your life. That's for every person. You may not have to go to an organized Bible college, but you do have to start organizing your search and your seeking of the Lord through the study of the Word. You've got to systematically begin to study the Word, not just do it, hit and miss, not just do it sporadically. You are going to have to systematically get to where you know the Word, you fit it together. And I know that there are millions of people watching this program thinking, look, I am not a preacher. I am not called to be a preacher. And that's what preachers do. But I am just a part of the laity. You know what? I think that that has done a tremendous amount of damage in the body of Christ, where people think that all of the scriptures concerning how the Word will work and how if you meditate in it, it'll change your life, that this is reserved somehow or another for the clergy, the full-time people serving God. I know hundreds and thousands of Christians who aren't preachers as such. They don't make a living. They don't stand behind a pulpit. And yet they've gotten hold of this truth and they've put it to practice in their life and it's working for them. I can show you people today that have seen people raised from the dead and yet they aren't preachers. There were seven little sisters in Lamar, Colorado, where I used to pastor a church. And these seven ladies were sisters, and their mother died, and they all got together and went over because they had been in the Word of God, because they had been coming to Bible studies and renewing their mind. And they stood, and they believed, and their mother rose from the dead and walked 2 miles the same day that she came back from the dead, walked 2 miles into town, bought groceries, and pushed a grocery cart back home. Amen. Not bad for just some ladies that were, you know, getting in the Word. One of those sisters, her child, I think it was, she was around 1 year old, maybe 10 months or 1 year old, somewhere around there, actually pulled a motorcycle, one of these big old 1100 something cc motorcycles, fell over on top of her and smushed her head flat. And of course the baby was dead. And this woman got that baby, pulled it out, put her head, you know, child's head is relatively soft, smushed it back into the right shape and commanded her to come back to life. And that child came back to life. That's been about 20 years ago and she's just healthy and everything's going fine. One of those ladies also was so poor that my wife and I used to give her money so that she could feed her kids. She was just barely making it, but she got into the Word of God and began to believe God. And it's a long story, but one day she was just praying over her situation and she was making some clay for her kids to play with because she didn't like the clay that she bought in the stores because it would stick to the rug and it would stick to things. It was toxic. So she had her own recipe that, you know, the kids could eat it if they wanted to. Not that she fed them clay, but it was non-toxic. It wouldn't stick to anything. And she was making her own clay and putting coloring in it and she was working on the stove. And she was praying over her finances and saying, God, what can I do differently? And the Lord told her to take that clay that was non-toxic, wouldn't stick to anything, put it in Ziploc bags, color it, put a little label on it, and start taking it to these craft fairs. And anyway, long story short, within a year or two, this woman was a multimillionaire employing over 180 people. Working for her, making this clay, making lots of money. She's not a minister. She's never stood behind the pulpit. But she's a person that got into the Word of God, and it changed her finances. It changed her daughter. It changed her mother being raised from the dead. And I could go on and on and on and give you stories of just average Joe Blow or Jane Doe Christian who isn't called to the ministry, but the Word of God will transform you. And it does it effortlessly. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to make this work. I'm going to go into one of the parables that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 4. And it says that this man sows a seed in the ground and he doesn't even know how it works. He doesn't know. He just sleeps and rises night and day. But he keeps the seed in the ground and it just springs and grows up of itself and it produces. God's Word is made to produce and to release life into you and to change your situation. You don't have to be the rocket scientist. You don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. If you could just get hold of this one truth, that you take God's word and put it in your heart, and if you do it consistently over a period of time, and if you follow the instructions and the things that God is speaking to you through His word, you will change effortlessly. You'll be like these lepers that go from where you are just barely existing to where there is this super abundance. You're abundantly blessed, rich, healthy. All of these things are working. You can go from being the outcast to the hero if you'll take the Word of God and put it in your life and just make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to do it. What have you got to lose? These lepers, you know, some people look at this and think, man, this was a very bold thing that they did. And in a way, yes, I agree it was bold. But in another way, what did they have to lose? They were dying. There are some of you that are thinking about what I'm encouraging you to do right here is risky. And you're thinking, oh man, I'm not sure I have enough courage to do this. Let me ask you, what are you going to lose? There are many of you watching this program that are absolutely miserable. You won't change, and yet you're afraid to do something different. You're afraid to get out of the boat and start walking on the water, and yet the boat's full of water. You're drowning in the boat. When Peter walked on the water in the 14th chapter of Matthew, there was very little difference between being in the boat and being out on the lake. The boat was full of water. It was going down. And yet everybody's so afraid to get out of what's normal, so afraid to do something different than what everybody else is doing. They're just following along. You know, it's like one of these horses that you go to a place and rent a horse, and that horse just sticks his nose in the rear of the horse in front of him and follows along, and you can't make them get out of line. They've done it so many times, it's just, and that's the way that most people are. They just got this herd mentality, and they're just following along and doing what their parents did and doing what their neighbors do and doing what everybody else is doing. I'm telling you, if you aren't the lead dog in the sled team, then the scenery's never going to change. If you aren't the head horse in this procession, you're never going to see anything different. Some of you need to get your nose out of just the, you know, in person in front of you, and you need to do what God called you to do and see something different come to pass. And what have you got to lose? You aren't fulfilled. You aren't blessed where you are, and yet you're so afraid to do something different. Man, take a lesson from 2 Kings chapter 7, these four lepers. How long are we going to sit here until we die? Let me pose that question to you. How long are you going to sit there until you die? Until it's hopeless? Until you can't dig yourself out of this hole? Do something. Even if it's wrong, it'd be better to do something in faith than to do nothing and just continue the way that you are. I tell you, this new teaching that I've got on effortless change would really help you. I've got a brand new book, a study guide. I've got DVDs, CDs on this. I encourage you to listen to our announcer and please call or write and get these materials today. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Effortless Change is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or, if you prefer, order this entire series on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Transformed by the Word, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Charis Christian Center, October 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Buxton, Derbyshire in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th, and at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, November 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give a special invitation to any of you who are in full-time ministry or for you to invite your pastor or leader of your church that's in full-time ministry to come to our 2010 Ministers Conference. It's October the 4th through the 8th right here in Colorado Springs. And we have Bob Yandian and also Bob Nichols who always minister with me at this conference. And I tell you, it is a life-changing time. It's my favorite time of the year. We really recognize the value of ministers, how many people you touch. And ministers need to be ministered to themselves, and it's sometimes hard to find. Most ministers' conferences are more informational than inspirational, but I tell you, ours will fire you up. So make plans to join us right here in Colorado Springs on October the 4th through the 8th. You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.